Just a couple of things to start with. Travis, if you don't mind, if you could stand up just one more time. He didn't look like that a year or two ago. Isn't that right? If I was the enemy, I'd probably run. Okay, you can sit back down. He's a ranger, right? And he's finished, and so we're very proud of him, aren't we? The other thing is Carolyn read today. Wickert and Bruce is here too, and I know Beth is here, and I'm not plugging what's happened with them. There's been a lot of prayers, of course, but they really benefited from the meals that we took to them, right, Beth, right? Carolyn and Bruce, and they've told me time and time again how thankful they are that their congregation got involved that way. Don't forget that. When people have need, when they get sick, they go into the hospital, something happens in the family, remember them, pray for them, support them. Last but not least, help feed them. Helps a lot. Now to the business at hand. And I know I don't preach from here very often, but I'm going to do it today just because of the way that the message is. I'm going to catch up to where we are. Are you messing with me? You are. I'm going the wrong way. Have you ever gone backwards in life? I wish I could go backwards to a time I looked like Travis. There you go. Okay, we'll do this like we always do. I'll say, you know, what is, and then you respond. What is the seventh petition? And what does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. What would you say is the greatest evil we face as Christians today? Not talking about the devil, demons, things like that. The greatest evil we face. The degradation of the family, adultery, financial debt, coveting, atheism, people not attending church regularly, individualism or selfishness, gun violence, murder. I'm going to get to the chase because I know what it is. Biblically speaking and with my theological training, I know what it is. Greatest evil is the cross. I'm going to say it again, because I don't want you to be confused. The greatest evil that we face is the cross. And folks, you need prayer in this area. Strong prayer. And I promise you, if you listen to this sermon all the way through and you start to understand what I'm talking about, you're going to grow as a Christian. I'm not talking about any cross in general. I mean the cross of Christ. And what I really mean about it is avoidance of it. Avoidance of the cross is the greatest evil that we face, and it needs our prayer. Some of you must be sitting there and thinking, he's dizzy. He doesn't have it together this morning. Because I love the cross. I love to feel forgiven. Oh, but there's so much more to the cross than just forgiveness. The cross is great when it comes to such sweetness and the love of Jesus that takes away our sins. But when it comes to bearing that cross in our own lives, oh, that's a whole different thing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about humility. I'm talking about true Christian service. I'm talking about acting like a person that's going to give love when it's not deserved. I'm talking about forgiving and forgetting and not going back there anymore. I'm talking about sidestepping the cross. The greatest evil we face every day is to sidestep the cross. In my mind, I see a person walking up the hill of Golgotha, Calvary as we know it. That unknown person reaches the summit, the place where our Savior died. He gets down on his knees, and he confesses his sins. Then he smiles, and he walks away. Sadly, the full value of the cross has been wasted. Prayer, your prayer, is not complete until you change. I'm talking about true changes in your life, your life, not somebody else's. Prayer that changes your life, the places where you go, the things you do, what you say, the people that you touch. Of this, the Bible is completely clear. Justification without sanctification is the worst of all evils, because justification without sanctification is not justification at all. In the common vernacular, faith without works is... Tell me. Yes. You're playing games with God. There's no worse evil. This is the evil of all evils that Jesus faced throughout his victorious life. And I do believe that was a major theme in his personal prayers, whether he was on a mountaintop or in a garden. He must have been praying it when he faced the evil one in the wilderness, and I know he must have been praying it on Good Friday when he cried out, at least the others cried out to him, "Oh, if you are the cross, prove it, save yourself, and come down from there." Did Jesus come down? Did he come down? No. He didn't sidestep it. He lived it and died because of it. The evil of the devil was to get Jesus to sidestep the cross. Not just his death, oh no. Much more than that. The cross, just a place to die, But Jesus used it as a place to live as well. He lived the cross. He lived it. And we should pray hard. We live it too. And so Jesus was tempted with the gravest of all evils. To take the path of glory, notoriety, and fame instead of humiliation and feeding his own ego. Tempted to take the path of power and selfishness instead of love and service. To take the path of the flesh of this world instead of that appointed by his heavenly Father. You know, I've been tempted too. I have been. I have been tempted to take the path of least resistance. Pastors, church leaders, parents, grandparents, caretakers, and the like, fathers, we face the same. And I pray daily, and first and foremost, I pray, Lord, let this not be about me. Lord, let this be about you. And I've learned over my short life that disgrace, humility, shame, and even loneliness are often the better way. Should I say it again? Because that don't make sense. Counterculture. I've learned over my short life that disgrace, humility, shame, and even loneliness are often the better way. In my prayers, I pray to God, let this not be about me. Now you understand why I am the way I am. I'm not the kind of person that emphasizes my ego, because I've prayed so many years about it. I have. There's a little bit of it that comes out from time to time. The devil works hard. But I don't want to ever be remembered as that great and fantastic pastor that changed the world. Because he had influence over people. And that influence wasn't always Christian. I've shed tears to bear the cross. And I've shed tears to avoid the cross. But one thing's for sure, I want to live the cross. Same with you, I hope, I pray. And believe it or not, you may not like it, but I get up in the morning a lot of times and I pray, let my people carry their cross. Let them take up that which is against the culture and live the life of Christ, the one that they received in their baptism, not to sidestep it, not to look for the accolades of the world, but to live the cross. You know, if we don't do that, we're just a bunch of pompous fools. You know, if we don't do that, we easily become egotistical maniacs. If we don't do that, we just go out in the world and become a bunch of clanging cymbals that nobody really wants to hear. And you know what? You're of no use to God. And that's the saddest thing of all. We all have to face it as Christians. The love of God given in Christ Jesus is in conflict with this world. And our prayers should reflect that. Lord, the life I'm going to live today is not going to look like the life of others. It is going to be counter to that. It's going to be in conflict with that, but in a good way. Jesus loves me. I'm going to love others. And you know what? You can't have two masters. In your prayers, make your choice. And do it every day. Confess your sin. Yes. Smile, you're forgiven. Yes. Kneel before the cross and understand the blood shed there. Yes. But then embrace that cross. Carry it with you. Don't just thank God and walk away because you feel good. And I see that so much today. People want to feel good. They want worship services where they feel good, where they feel forgiven, where they get all inspired. But then the cross stays in the church and it doesn't go out there. Every Christian's life should be seen in such a way as Calvary's cross is clear that it's walking around, it's talking, and it's making a difference in the world. In the wilderness and throughout his life, Christ knew exactly what he was doing. He often went away to quiet, lonely places to pray. It's not like he didn't know what he was doing. He was praying, "Deliver me from evil." And now you know the evil of which he was praying. O God, my Father, let me not sidestep the cross, not just to die there, but to live it today and tomorrow and my entire life until you call it and it's over. He prayed it, not to sidestep it. Do you know why he did that? Do you know why he prayed like that? Because in his head, Jesus saw you. He saw your face. He saw your life. He saw what you're like. I don't know how he did it, but he also saw me. Oh, Father, let me not just die on the cross. Let me live it daily because I love Russ. And then the scriptures say, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Everything he did was about that. Never about him. Always about you. I know that truth. And I know another one. You're no match for the devil. And the devil's greatest evil, that you avoid the cross. Let's face it, you can't even deal with your own sinful nature. And certainly, you can't deal with the consequences of sin, which is death. You need to be delivered. You need Jesus and his cross. And you need to accept that, too. It's easy to forget the fact that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That's the reality at work. Our greatest enemy is the devil, but the greatest evil that we face as Christians is to live without the law of love in our lives. Martin Rother wrote this, We lead a precarious existence. We are the target of our enemy. Hourly, the devil seeks to destroy us all. No sooner are we baptized, and the devil lies in wait for you. Even now, he would rather break my neck than permit me to write any more about God's good and gracious love and live as one who loves humility and service in his name. Folks, I'm going to tell you this, and I hope you hear me. Spiritual complacency and apathy is no way to live your life. Wake up. Smell the roses. Better yet, smell the wood of the cross in your life. And pray often, and pray about that. Pray you don't sidestep the cross. But know this as well. It's not merely the devil that we need to fear. By the way, yeah, fear the devil. Yep. But there's another to fear even more. And that's our just and holy God. He would not allow his most precious gift, that is the gospel, to be treated with contempt and apathy. When we gloss over our sins and welcome evil into our lives just to satisfy our desires, then we treat Christ's death in vain. But if we don't repent, if we don't change our lives, if the cross makes no difference, we act like the Holy Spirit is not working. You're in danger of hell. Jesus suffered and died to reconcile us to the Father by his blood. We need Christ. We need forgiveness. We need that benefit. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But in our prayers, we must also pray hard that we live out the cross. You know what I got here? My passport. I went to Canada this past week. I want to read something to you in it. The date of the issue of this passport is February 28, 2008. It expires February 27th, 2018. Yeah, I didn't have a passport to get into Canada. I didn't realize it expired. By the way, my picture is 10 years old. I'm quite handsome. I'll let you look at it later. So I get to the border to go into Canada, and lo and behold, the officer's name is Russell. I'm not kidding you. Russell is 57 years old. And he was born in May on the 5th. And I'm born on the 6th. And he said, Russell, he said, your passport is expired, but you have some good news today. You're just like me. And we're running a special today. We're letting foreigners into the country with expired passports. But you better be good, or we'll come looking for you. I was good. I had to be good. That was required of me. I had to act like it mattered to be in Canada and to have the privilege to fish and recreate. Folks, you have a passport. Don't let it expire. And when it gives you privileges, take it seriously. Don't get yourself in trouble. Folks, you have a good and gracious God who's running a special today. Your sins are forgiven. They are no more. Worry not. But now that you have that freedom, act like it. Serve. Live in humility. And love people you'd probably never loved before. And forgive and forget. And don't forget you have a church family called Bethlehem. Speak well of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Live out your life as a member who cares. Let me close. You know, I think I've told you this. My dad despised fishing. Despised it. There wasn't one thing about fishing that he liked. But at least once a month, he would take me down to Lake Wausau fishing. And he would sit there and stare at his bobber. But he never put a worm on it. He didn't want to catch any fish. So one day I asked my dad, I said to my dad, "Dad, why do you take me fishing when you hate it so much?" And he told me, "Remember Grandpa?" "Oh yeah, I remember Grandpa. He used to take me bowling all the time. He hated bowling." It doesn't matter what I love or don't love. What matters is you. Can I get an amen? Sometimes love does strange but wonderful things.